going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Jeff Passan, national baseball reporter for ESPN. He lives in Kansas City, but he went out to this whole event, which was hearing Craig Breslow talk and then Alex Cora talk before Friday's series opener between the Sox and the Royals, and was there asking questions, one to Craig Breslow about the teammate part of it, because Craig Breslow gave his definition of what a good teammate is, and then you hear Alex Cora talking about it there as well. And we got Gordo and Pat here from Play Tessie, Mitch behind the glass, Joe Wild with you here for Baseball Isn't Boring. And Rob not here today. He's at a wedding, but thanks to Rob for joining us for a bit. Same goes for Brian Abraham. We're going to take you up to Red Sox pregame, talking Red Sox and everything surrounding this team right now. And I thought this dynamic was really interesting, guys, the whole idea of what a good teammate is. And the one thing with having Alex Cora as the manager of this team is that he was asked to play everywhere as a player. I mean, if anybody understands the idea of being asked to fill different roles, it's this guy. And I think that part of him has to be frustrated with the stubbornness of Rafael Devers, even if he does understand maybe how he feels a little bit.
The being a good teammate stuff was such interesting questioning, because the truth is I don't want this to sound like I'm coming after Rafi, but like when you ask someone, what does it mean to be a good teammate? Naturally, the answer to that is going to be kind of the opposite of what he's done. And I'll read you Breslow's answer, too, to this question. Breslow said, this is Breslow. He said he wasn't in the room with Henry and Devers, but he said there were conversations. John, Sam, and I flew out earlier today. It was actually John who spoke directly with Rafi. We felt it was important, based on the situation that unfolded yesterday, to come out here and have an honest conversation about what we value as an organization and what we believe is important to the Boston Red Sox, that being great teammates for each other. And so I think that just tells you where the organization on the upper levels stands in on a situation like this, which is I think it's clear as day. Rafi called out them. Rafi called out Craig Breslow, made it clear as day that he is not a fan of Craig Breslow. And Breslow, I thought yesterday, made it pretty clear that he thinks that Rafael Devers, if he declines to play first base, is not being a good teammate and not doing his job for the Boston Red Sox. I just think that that's Craig Breslow's stance, and he said it in his own Craig Breslow way. But that's what I think the message there was.
And I'll be curious to see how his teammates respond to it, because in that same kind of interview, he was saying, as of right now, I'm lucky, like, get along with all my teammates, blah, blah, blah. And then it kind of came out that someone may have told him to stop talking to the media and all this. So I'll be curious to see, especially if they keep losing games, how this all kind of shakes out.
What do you guys make of Alex Cora's season here?
It's a tough question to answer, because, I mean, on the surface, when you have a team that's not winning, if you look at the roster and it should be better, the finger gets pointed at the front office, at the GM, or at ownership. If you look at the roster the way you look at the Red Sox roster and say, huh, this is a pretty good roster, this roster looks like it should be better than 500, the finger naturally gets pointed at the manager. To me, it's always so difficult to evaluate a manager's performance without being in the clubhouse as a part of that team every day. like you can evaluate the bullpen decisions. You can talk about whether there's buy-in from the team. I think Alex Cora's season, and he's got a tough task ahead of him. Like truly, this is one of the more difficult tasks of his career. But his season's going to be defined by how he handles this situation. Because yeah, they're 20-20, 40 games in, but 122 to go. There's quick Gordo math there. 122 to go, and those 122, a lot of that is going to ride on how does the Devers situation play out? Where is Devers playing? How are the teammates reacting? Are there conversations happening to make sure that the team and that the players are on the same page? Because they're not all necessarily going to agree with who's in the right, who's in the wrong. But as long as there's buy-in from those guys and they are playing to win and are doing everything they can to prepare at the right level for Major League Baseball games, then that's all Alex Cora can do. And if guys underperform, then guys underperform. But Cora's got to put him in the best position to succeed. And to me, that starts with how is this Devers situation handled?
And the reason I asked that question, because we had Rob Bradford on before. And by the way, we want to hear your thoughts on Alex Cora, everything related to the Sox team, especially the Rafael Devers saga as we continue along here and we continue to get further removed from it with no real answers. 617-779-7937. And we'll hit on some texts as well. But the reason I asked that question is because Rob made an interesting point when he was on with us about, and this has stood out to me too. In some of these post-game pressers, the mention of the American League and how weak the American League is right now. And that lined up similarly with earlier this year when they lost those games against Toronto at Fenway.
Those were brutal.
And they were extremely cold games.
The games themselves were brutal, too.
The games were brutal. I felt for the players, too. I mean, just because it was extremely cold and you just come from Florida. That all being said, the Blue Jays were playing under the same pretenses, too, the same context. And I just felt like the excuse-making there was a little disappointing. You maybe make that excuse for last year's team or 2023 where you didn't have expectations of winning. And I thought that those excuses for this team that's built to win now, coupling with the ones now we've heard down the line, is disappointing to hear from, again, the guy that has won a World Series as a manager and has experienced success and knows what it takes. I do feel like there has been more excuse making, and maybe it's just the fatigue of the last couple of years and the fact that they've finished 500 the last couple of years, but I do think that's starting to get a little bit grating.
Well, yeah, and I think that's fair. The thing is, again, they're 40 games in, and if you're Alex Cora, you only have so many bullets over the course of a 162 game season where you can reasonably call out your team before those words are going to fall on deaf ears. He's used it once, and he used it well. They won at least a few games in a row after he called them out after that first game of the Rays series where they lost by 15 runs, but yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with you, Joe. I mean, it feels at times like, yeah, this team needs to be told that this level of performance isn't acceptable. I just, if it doesn't work, how many more bullets do you have? It's like you got to pick your spots, and you've already used one 40 games in. But yeah, I mean, the simple part of it is they have to be better.
I think another thing with Cora and there's a lot of outside of baseball stuff he's dealing with. Not outside of baseball, but outside of the game that he's dealing
with. Right, with this Rafael Devers.
With the whole Devers stuff, and then you get Bregman in the fold, and then half the rotation's up, and then they're down, and then guys are getting hurt, and then you have the noise of the prospects. Like, there's a lot going on in the world of Alex Cora, but doesn't it feel like he has not been as sharp this year as he has been historically?
Like with bullpen decisions?
Bullpen decisions, not intentionally walking Vladdy.
Yeah.
Like, there were, frequently last year and years prior, you kind of watch and you're like, oh, Alex Cora is managing circles.
Bats 1,000.
The other thing.
It used to kind of feel like he batted 1,000. I agree. It doesn't. Again, I still do feel like he's one of the top in-game managers and honestly out-of-game managers as well in baseball. But you're right, Pat. There have been already more times in the first 40 games this year where I'm thinking to myself, I don't know if I would have done that. then and sometimes I'm wrong and they work, but I'm just saying, like, I'm sitting there thinking that more often this year than I have in years past.
Well, and especially the communication part of it. We've talked about this a lot already on our show. And again, we want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. We're also getting some interesting texts that I do want to hit on here in a moment. But the communication part of it is interesting, right? Because the Devers conversation, there is the miscommunication factor that has led to this, and in part with Alex Cora and some of his public comments, right, about Alex Bregman playing second base and that he could be a Gold Glove second baseman when they were pursuing him, and then the change completely for Devers to be taken off third. But on top of that, like a David Hamilton, we had heard Alex Cora talk about how he could play the outfield. We haven't seen that, and yet Christian Campbell gets put out there in center field instead and doesn't look good. I mean, he's what,
And it takes a toll on his offense when he goes out
right.
there. It's like he's not the guy. And granted, I feel like we haven't seen it. When was the last time Christian Campbell
it's played
the
outfield? It's been a bit.
Yeah.
It's been a bit.
It's been a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So they haven't done that recently. But
yeah.
I think just even having seen that, but being told something different prior to that is where I've just looked at this season differently. And I think if you go back to last year, right, with Alex Cora and the job he did prior to the All-Star break, I think we'd all give it an A, right? I mean,
that was
a team that was not only above 500, but actually held a wild card spot at the All-Star break. That was an A job from Alex Cora. This year, and I'm still a fan, but I do think like it's been like a C-level effort. I think when you take into everything, you know, about where they're at, some of how the roster stuff has been handled, and again, it's been underperformance from them this season in a way that to me felt like the sure thing. And again, it could all change, and I'm not saying that they should fire him by any stretch, but I have been disappointed.
Well, it's so much is yet to be told, because you're right, Joe. To this point, what can you put your finger on that Alex Cora has done to elevate this team in the first 40 games? You can't really point to much. That said, there's a huge opportunity here. And maybe it shouldn't go unnoticed that he undoubtedly played a huge role in getting Rafael Devers to accept his role as a DH. That said, that job is not done. And getting him to accept this new role that he needs to be put into, which is playing significant time at first base, that right there can define a season. Like, again, 40 games in, he hasn't really done anything to elevate the team to this point as the manager, and you'd like to see more, but there are going to be a lot of opportunities for him to change that tone, to change that narrative. And you know, you could change the tone with decisions, and granted, a lot of those are going to be made above him at the front office level, and by that I mean, when do you call up the kids, when do you make the move to figure out a way to get Masataka Yoshida into this lineup? But you've seen Alex Cora fiddle with the lineup a little bit. We'll see, you know, if he makes a decision or two down the line here. I mean, you've seen him pitching Justin Slayton earlier in games and pitching Greg Weissert later in games. You've seen him making adjustments, and to this point, none of those have necessarily failed. So I don't know. I just think that Cora's season, we're on like page 10 of a 200-page book here.
That's him. The hope, right?
Yeah,
that's the hope. There was one texter that's interesting, and I want to just hit this before we go to break, get your guys' thoughts. One texter saying they're a 500 team because they have a 500 roster. You guys severely overestimate a lot of the players on that team, and they have way too many overpaid DHs.
Overpaid. I mean, I don't think it's a 500 roster. The roster on the field right now should be playing better than 500. But the truth is, it is closer to a 500 level roster because they're not putting the best 26 guys out there on a nightly basis. I mean, there's 9 guys in a lineup every single night, and there are 3 guys, 2 guys in AAA and 1 guy in the witness protection program that you could make legitimate arguments should be in this lineup every single day. That's a third of your lineup that you could, if you snapped your fingers, turn it over to those 3 guys. Not necessarily saying that that's the move. I'm just saying that, yeah, the roster on the field right now, it's better than a 500 roster, but it could be way better than a 500 roster if they just speed along the timeline a little bit and act with a little bit of urgency.
Hopefully it comes soon. Yeah, Pat.
No, I agree. I think one thing too that about the 500 roster is last year was a 500 roster, right? Like there were really not very high hopes going into last year. They held a wild card spot into the All-Star break. Things fizzled out. They finished 500. On paper, if you compare the 24 Sox to the 25 Sox, it is a better roster. That is a better roster than 500.
Yes.
And not I close. Don't think that, yeah, I don't think it's close. The bullpen, you could say, maybe got a little bit worse, especially like hindsight's 2020, but losing Kenley and Martin and all those. But the rotation, the depth of the rotation and the actual rotation is much better. The lineup is much better. They should be better. And to say they have a 500 roster, I don't agree with. But yeah, they're playing like a 500 team, absolutely.
20-20 right now, but game 41 coming up tonight. Again, we're going to take you all the way up to Red Sox pregame, which starts at 6:10. First pitch at 7:10 in Kansas City on what is a crochet day. The Celtics right now, they're taking care of business. We'll get you a score update for you as Mitch Sabatelli has what's trending here on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox fall back down to 500 after a 2-1 extra innings loss in last night's series finale in KC. Hunter Dobbins got the start, going 6 shutout innings, allowing 5 hits while striking out 6. Devers had the lone RBI groundout in the 11th for the only score for the Red Sox. They'll look to bounce back tonight when aces go Garrett Crochet against Royals ace Cole Reagans. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI as in across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil will get you started at 6:10 on the Mass Mutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Lenny DiNardo will have the call of the game. First pitch from Kauffman Stadium set for 7:10. And the Celtics, like Joe just mentioned, are playing the Knicks. Game 3 at MSG. We've seen this before, but they are up 25 in the third quarter. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum both with 17 points. Sam Hauser is the lone inactive for the Celtics. Let's see if they can win Game 3. We'll see. Elsewhere in the NBA, the Cavs cut the Pacers series lead in half with a 126-104 win in Indiana. And the Nuggets took a 2-1 series lead over the top-seeded Thunder with a 113-104 win. While over in the NHL, former Bruin Brad Marchand had the OT winner for Florida as they beat the Maple Leafs 5-4 to cut the Toronto series lead to 2-1. The Jets also getting a win at home 4-0 to even their series with the Dallas Stars 1-1. And finally, Saints quarterback Derek Carr has announced his retirement after 11 NFL seasons. He was set to miss the entire 2025 season with a shoulder injury. My name is Mitch Sabatelli. And
now,
who is it?
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Fans of time.
Jason Baratta. We got Gordo, we got Pat from Play Tessie, Mitch behind the glass. He's just been killing it behind the glass with these rejoins all afternoon. And we have been talking Red Sox baseball. We're going to take you all the way up to Red Sox pregame, which starts at 6:10. And we have a lot to discuss. And just before we heard the rejoiner there, we heard Alex Cora talk about how Romy and Ref Snyder are banged up right now. And there was a roster move made for just one of them. And that was Romy Gonzalez being placed on the 10-day injured list with a left quad contusion. You remember he had that collision at first base running down the line, and it was his back first. So now they're saying it's a left quad contusion, so that's interesting.
He must have just been banged up all over the place. Like that was a nasty spill.
It was a nasty spill. No, you're right. And what's interesting, so they call up Nick Sogard from AAA to take his spot, and Sogard's actually in the lineup today as the first baseman. But I think this is a perfect lead-up to what we want to talk about, and that is the whole dynamic with this organization right now, with two guys waiting in AAA for their call up to the big leagues. And I think we're all in agreement that these guys would provide a jolt for a team that right now is 500 through 40 games, 20-20. And there are guys right now on this roster that are scuffling. And while we have this conversation, we want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. We've been talking a lot of Rafael Devers as well. He's back in the lineup, and he's not at first base. He's a DH, as he's been. But I do think that what is happening right now is that there are guys that we expected to be cogs on this team, and not only that, be productive, and they're underperforming. And it's been a big step back. And the two guys I'm thinking about right now are Jarren Duran and Trevor Story. Duran's numbers coming into today, 251 average, 303 on base, 386 slugging after an 8-WAR season a season ago. And then Trevor Story's just not hitting at all. And it's looked really ugly. And I wonder, especially with Story, guys, how long, if it continues to go this way, do the Sox just have to take it into their own hands and say, you know what, listen, we're trying to field the best team right now, and that's Marcelo Meyer at shortstop.
Yeah, it's tough. They have to figure out a borderline as to when they've given certain guys, and it can be different for different guys. Like, Sadon Rafaela, coming from me especially, too, a lot of people call in for Roman Anthony to replace him in the lineup, and last six games or so, he's hitting 400, and he's looked as good at the plate and defensively as he has better than he has all season. But then you got a guy like Trevor Story. I mean, he had that huge hot stretch, and yet still for the season, 6.45 OPS. His defense has taken a step back. It's hard to justify him in the lineup every day when you've got a guy like Marcelo Meyer in the waiting. And you're not going to be able to justify that forever. But the question is, when is that borderline date? When are you confident enough that Marcelo Meyer is that guy and Trevor Story is just not going to put up the numbers that you signed him to put up and change his role? He becomes maybe a utility guy, maybe plays a little bit of first base. I have a hard time picturing Trevor Story playing first base, but as a leader of this team, it's not going to necessarily be easy to just strip him out of the lineup. It's a lot easier said than done, and you see how teammates can have a polarizing reaction to even just this Devers circumstance. Trevor Story is one of the leaders of this team. So even with his struggles and even with a kid like Meyer waiting in the wings, it's so much easier said than done to just rip him out of the lineup. At a certain point, you have to do what you have to do. You have to make the hard decisions. You have to get uncomfortable, as Rob likes to say. But I dabble back and forth as to when that time is. Like, when is the time where you're confident enough that Trevor Story is not going to put together stretches the way you've seen in the past, and maybe this version of him in his age 32 season just is who he is, and you just got to move, not necessarily move on, but just adjust your expectations and adjust his role.
And the question is too, like, what do you do for the next 2 years of this contract too? Because there was a thought when he was rolling early on that, like, maybe he could opt out and try to get another deal out on the market.
I was right there. I said if he kept playing like that, he would opt out. He hasn't kept playing like that. It would take a lot at this point for him to opt out. He's at half a war right now. I feel like he would need to get to like a four war to opt out. I don't know if we're seeing that.
I think the other thing with Trevor is people get really like, oh yeah, but when he gets hot, he gets hot. Like we saw that stretch when he was hitting like 600 over whatever it was, that 8-9 game span, got his average up well over 300 at one point. And like the thing with Trevor is like, yes, he goes through these immensely hot stretches. The cold stretches are three times as cold as it is hot, and they're three times as long.
Yep.
And you can only go through that vicious cycle so many times before you say, you know what, Marcelo, you're going to give us more consistency. You're an upgrade, and you pull the plug on Trevor. And Trevor's a great guy. He's a great clubhouse leader. He does story camp every year, all this stuff. I hope they can kind of find a role for him, and it's not just bye, see you later. But you can't go on much longer just in the middle of this vicious cycle of ice, ice, ice cold and red hot for a few games.
Wouldn't it be weird thinking about it right now? Just if Trevor Story, let's say, because they usually like Marcelo Meyer's a left-handed hitter with left-handed rookies, prospects. They bring these guys up and often platoon them at first. Christian Campbell's different. He's a right-handed hitter. He faces everybody. But the lefties, you saw it with Duran. You saw it with Devers. You saw it with Casas. If you hit left-handed, when they bring you up, they're not going to put you in tough left-handed matchups. So is there a chance that Marcelo Meyer comes up and he and Trevor Story platoon at shortstop for
a little while? That's an interesting dynamic to think about too, right? I mean, it does give you that thump when you do have a right-hander on the mound. It's all hypothetical too. We haven't seen Marcelo Meyer as a big league player. This is what we all project him to be. And
it's just a matter of when.
A matter of when. And it is, I think, starting to get a little bit uncomfortable, but maybe this is also a part of what we were talking about before, just where this roster's at. And again, 500 coming into today's action and the idea of if we've overrated them coming in. Now, somebody just texted this in. I don't agree with it. And again, if you want to call, 617-779-7937. Celtics up 27, by the way, with 27 seconds left in the third quarter. It's been a blowout. But somebody just texted in, Brian Baio is a perfect example of how you guys overrate this team. A few years ago, you were calling him Baby Pedro, when at best, he's Wish.com Jamie Moyer.
Oh, well, first of all, I never called Brian Baio Baby Pedro, but also Brian Baio, kind of an interesting guy to criticize. I know he didn't look that great his last
year. But he's been pretty good this year.
He's got a 2.01 ERA right now. Yeah, come on. But no, I agree. I mean, when guys come up, you want to see the ceiling in them, and to be truthful, most of these guys don't hit their ceiling. Like, look at all the prospects of the Red Sox past. How many of them became as good or better than you thought? You can point to Devers, Mookie, Xander. Like, there's so many more that either just become solid players. Like, Eduardo Rodriguez's major league debut, I mean, I think it was double-digit strikeouts in his major league debut, and you think this guy's going to be an ace, and he ends up being a good pitcher for you for a long time.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's a success too. And if Bayo's that's a success even on the extension.
I agree. Let's go back to the phones. We got George in Warwick. He wants to talk about Rafael Devers. George, what's happening?
I heard about the meeting with ownership. And my question, I haven't heard the agent's role in this whole matter being mentioned at all. In other words, is he in the air giving this guidance to Rafi? Is he not giving any guidance to Rafi? Was he in the meeting with the owners? Because are we to imagine that Rafi, directly with the owners, without an interpreter, was going through this type of intense interaction about what a team player should be? Like, I call out the agent in part because I haven't heard mention of them at all, but they certainly should be guiding their player. Whatever the percent is, it's a pretty good pile of cash they pulled in off of that contract.
Well, George, I don't know about the agent's role in this. I mean, I know that in the offseason, Devers was kind of speaking through his agent, and his agent made it clear that Devers wanted to stay at third base. But as it pertains to the meeting between John Henry and Alex Cora and Rafael Devers does speak fluent English. He is a fluent English speaker. He speaks through an interpreter with the media because he does not want his words to be twisted, which is interesting because
the translator's word.
Yeah, like it's kind of a no-win situation there when you're speaking, when English is not your first language and you have to speak with the media and your words get dissected, you can't win.
I hear you on him weighing in early on in the season, but what about right now when things got intense? I mean, do you think a good agent would have weighed in when Rafi started blowing up Breslow?
Are you saying that the agent should have told Rafi to not blow up to the media in the way that he did?
Yes, I am. I think that's what an advisor should advise a player that's a little bit too emotional. Yeah.
I mean, I can't necessarily disagree with that. I don't know the agent's role in all this.
But I actually feel like the agent is going to have Devers' side on that. I mean, for two reasons. Oh, one, yeah. He represents him. But two, he might be looking at the situation from his vantage point saying, hey, this is my client who, again, I'm not saying I agree with this viewpoint, but he might be saying, like, this is my client who's getting jerked around by the team.
Yeah.
They wanted him to be this thing, which does kill his value moving forward a bit, just being a DH instead of being out there on the field. And now they're saying, hey, they're going to move him to a position that he's never played before. Again, that's just that could be his perspective in this. I'm not saying I agree.
It's a matter of priorities.
Right.
It's like, do you want to prioritize your image, or do you want to prioritize Rafael Devers getting what he wants in his role? And it looks like right now the priority with Rafi is his role.
I get that. I get that he should be a third baseman. I don't think he's trying to jerk him around. And I can, if I'm Rafi, I'm going, holy cow right here. They chewed me up because of my lack of glove. Okay, now I'm a DH. Now maybe the pride in me is going, now you want me to go to first. You crushed my glove at third. You want to now have me as a finger coach team player go to a position, put a glove back on, and maybe not look so good. You know, I get that from the player's perspective. But, yeah, I just think an agent at some level, beyond negotiating a contract with an advisor, advises their player, that maybe there's a better way to take up this interaction, this you know, that you're not happy with it, but there might be a better way than going public. Like, if maybe that's a unreasonable expectation I have of an agent in their role, but aside from the contract, I think that's what you do. You help them navigate through sometimes like this.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is we don't know. The truth is they could have had those conversations and maybe Devers didn't listen. We really don't know the agent's role.
We don't know, I think, George, and I appreciate the call. If you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937. I just think from the agent's perspective, like, he's trying to do everything in the best interests of Devers, which is, I don't know if he's saying, hey, go out there and make a fuss about it, call out the GM, all those types of things. But I think he is saying, like, hey, be honest. Like, be honest about it. If you're upset, let it out. And the one thing I'll say, too, is that Alex Cora has said this time and time again, he wants his players to be honest with the media. Tell them how you feel. I've heard Alex Cora say that several times over. And listen, Rafael Devers took that opening and did just that. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Zach in Alston. He wants to talk about Trevor's story. Zach, what's happening?
Hey, how are you?
What's going on, man?
What's going on, Zach?
Good. So I think it needs to be said that when we first signed Trevor Story, he was a 300 hitter in Coors, but his splits away, he was a 241 career hitter with the Rockies when he wasn't hitting in the best field in the majors. He had a 30% K rate versus a 25% K rate at home in Coors. I just don't think he's ever been that great of a hitter. Plus, with all the injuries and he's getting older, it's something that has gone on for way too long, I think, and that Meyer's knocking on the door. They just need to make the move.
Yeah, it's complicated. Zach, I appreciate the call, and this is what we've been talking about. And if you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937. We're going to take you close to 610, which is when pregame starts here for Red Sox Royals. But it is starting to get a little bit more complicated, because when Trevor Story was hitting well at the beginning of the year, and he was going through that hot stretch as we were all talking about, the Marcelo Meyer part of it was less uncomfortable. And obviously the uncomfortable part of it just being like, okay, when are they going to call this guy up? Now it's starting to, that whole conversation is rising. And again, it's rising as they're losing too. And at some point, we're going to start to look at where we're at in the schedule and say, okay, we've lost too much time here in terms of racking up wins. I mean, the Sox had the easiest schedule, or one of the easiest schedules in baseball for a long time, and now it's heating up because you got the Royals, who have won 16 of 18. You got Detroit coming up after that. I mean, it's getting harder for this team. You haven't even played the Yankees yet, who I still think are pretty flawed, but they are the first-place team in the AL East. So we're starting to – I mean, again, it's 122 games to go, but the clock is really ticking now, and I think that's what we've been getting at today.
Yeah, and the thing with Trevor Story – dating back years at this point. I mean, he struggled a lot in his first year, and then kind of he put it together, and then he struggled again. And then when it kind of felt like he was going to get it together, he broke the bone in his hand. And then the second year was a lost year, and the third year was a loss. It's just there is you have not had an extended stretch of time where Trevor Story has had a full spring training to evaluate who he is as a player at this stage in his career. At this point, we've had 40 games. The Red Sox have played 40 games. I don't know, again, what the borderline is, where you make that call, but at this stage, you are so far removed from Trevor Story's last super productive season, which was in Colorado. Like, at a certain point in time, it gets to be too much. And if they had no one behind him, like, when Tristan Casas struggled, you got to ride that into the ground because you have no one behind him. And of course, now he's not available to play. But they were gonna have to ride that into the ground. There was no one else there, and you're seeing it right now. With Trevor Story, there is someone else there. Marcelo Meyer is there. Marcelo Meyer is major league ready now. Does not mean that now is the perfect time to call him up. Doesn't mean now is necessarily the time where you have to give up on Trevor Story. But when it gets to be too much, the option is quite literally right there. It is right in the palm of your hand, and you can just click the button and he's there.
Yeah, I think one thing with Trevor that he mentioned was that he never really thought Trevor was a great hitter. Whatever guy comes out of Colorado, that's always the question. Is he a good hitter or is it Coors Field? Sometimes the guy is a really good hitter. Look at DJ LeMay, he was first year in New York. Look at Nolan Arenado. He had a runner-up in the MVP to his teammate Paul Goldschmidt. And there are other guys who end up leaving, Troy Tulowitzki and now Trevor Story, who maybe aren't as good as people thought they were hitting. But the thing with Trevor that made it so worthwhile taking that risk was his defense was so incredible. We've now reached a point where he's grading out to average to a little below average defensively, both range and arm strength. And that was kind of the one thing that was really keeping him fully incumbent in that shortstop position. That was his saving grace because his defense was so good. Now that that's starting to dwindle, the bat's ice cold, he's not hitting. Now it's a conversation of when. It's not if Marcelo replaces Story this season, it's when.
Yeah, and Trevor Story's defense this year, range outs above average, 24th percentile, arm strength, 44th percentile. He throws on the run so you can, I don't want to say throw out the 44th percentile, but it's really the range there, 24th percentile, where last year, let's go to last year, didn't qualify but was above average. Year before, didn't qualify but was close to the top of the league percentile-wise. Year before that, 97th percentile, outs above average. Granted, that was at second base. So this is a guy whose value was in his defense, and what you got from the bat was a bonus. Now you're getting similar to maybe a little bit worse production at the plate, but you're getting not even close to the same value defensively. And again, Marcelo Meyer's right there.
He's right there. I think he's got a 21 game on base streak too, as well. So he's not only in AAA, he's been doing well in AAA.
He's a good player, Joe.
With the WUSA, I would agree.
He's a good player.
All right, we got one more segment to go, but we want to hear from you still if you want to chime in. I got a couple of texts I want to get to before we ultimately have to duck out. Again, it's Garrett Crochet on the bump, so at least we got that going for us. Also, the Celtics are giving it to the Knicks. Can they close it out is the question, as we know is a problem. But again, 617-779-7937 here on WEI. Feel free to call in. We got one more segment to go. We'll talk about a couple different things, hit on some final topics. When we return, right after this.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On WEI. Talking to everybody about everything going on with this team. We got Gordo and Pat from Play Tessie. And boys, part one, actually, I'm not going to jinx it. You know, I'm not even going to mention what I was going to mention. Because I was going to say part one of the Boston Sports Day, and I'm just going to say dot, 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 and wrap it up, because we know no lead is safe in the other big game today. But the game we've been leading up to, Red Sox-Royals, second game of a three-game set, and Garrett Crochet on the bump. I did want to get to a couple texts that have rolled in that I thought were interesting. And one of them was one about Garrett Crochet and the pitching staff, and one texter chimes in, and I'm curious your guys' thoughts. He said, Crochet is a legitimate ace, but he is the only starter on this team who belongs in the 1-3 spots in a rotation.
I don't know about that. I think Brian Bayo is certainly pitching his way into, at minimum, a number three spot in this rotation, and you've got multiple other guys that have pitched like they could be in that spot. Walker Buehler was pitching well before his injury. Hunter Dobbins has looked great. Richard Fitz has looked great. I'm not saying that any, like, either of those guys are individually number threes, but you take that handful of guys, and there's a good shot that one of them emerges as a number three starter for you. The hole to me is they were pretty reliant, I'm going to say, on Tanner Houck. You could include Bayo in it too, but I'll say for Tanner Houck to be that number two starter. And not only has he not been that to this point, I don't have much. I mean, granted, he's I don't want to say fully turned around. He's been better. But I don't have nearly any faith that he's going to be that number two starter that he showed that he could be last year. So that is a spot where they're either going to need someone to step up or they're going to have to make a move at the deadline to acquire that guy.
So we feel like right now they have a one and a three, but right now that two is
that's
vacant.
The spot.
What do you think, Pat?
Pat thinks no three?
Pat's got a look
I
in his face.
I kind of agree with that take.
You think they don't have a three either?
Pitched like a top three. He walked, what, five last start?
Yeah.
And he's like working around traffic. That's not a pretty 2.01 ERA right now.
Last start, do you think, was the worst he's looked in his four? Maybe the first one?
His first start was rocky to start, and then he kind of settled. Overall, yeah, his last start was, I would say, probably his worst start so far.
And yet he allowed, what, one combined run in those two starts?
Yeah, right. And then I think the other thing, too, is I'll be curious to see what Buehler looks like when he comes back, because that's a guy I could say, you know, like a two or a three, because he seemed to have really turned a corner his last couple of starts before hitting the IL. But like Gordo said, he's just volatile right now. You don't know what you're going to get out of him. And that was a guy that all-star last year, sub-3.5 ERA, like, that was a guy they had really, really high expectations for coming in the year that he just really hasn't lived up to yet. And the name that Gordo left out when he said like seven of them was Lucas Giolito,
yep,
who for one reason or another seems to be a two-pitch pitcher right now, which it worked very well in Toronto because he was able to locate that changeup. And that's kind of the tale of Lucas Giolito. If he has commanded that changeup, he's going to be a really good pitcher. We saw it, you know, 2018, 2019, and then 21, but if he doesn't have that command and he can't really disguise that fastball and that changeup and he lets it hang, you get the results you got the other day. And that's a guy who, I don't know what they had in terms of expectations for Giolito, but surely whatever they were, he has not lived up to it just yet.
I got a couple of other guys I'm just curious your thoughts on right now. Garrett Whitlock recently obviously has not looked great. I was so excited to see him back in a reliever role because he was so good there 4 years ago, which is hard to believe that 2021 is 4 years ago now. But what have you guys thought of him recently?
You know, recently, it obviously has not looked the way you'd want it to for him. The overall body of work this year for him, I've been pretty encouraged by. I've liked what I've seen from him, and I know a lot of people want to punt on the two-inning role. I think it's okay for now, maybe, to put, and they obviously didn't. He was in there for two outs last night. His first back-to-back of the year, the day before last night, he went one inning. I think he'll turn it back around and be the guy that he was earlier this season. I think this is just a stretch that he needs to get through, and I think he will, and I think he will continue to be one of the premier setup men in baseball. I really believe in Whitlock. I believed in him as a starter. I respect the decision to remove him from that role. I would have done that at this point at their stage of they want to compete this year. But I do think that he's going to be a really good multi-inning reliever for this team. I just think that there's some kinks that need to be worked out right now.
I think a lot of his struggles are a direct result of just, I mean, the workload, right? There was a stretch, and they're still kind of in it right now, where the only three relievers you could trust for about 2 weeks were Garrett Whitlock, Justin Slayton, and Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah.
And it seemed like they were pitching every day or five of the 7 days a week. And for a guy like Garrett, who they tried out as a starter, didn't really pan out all too well, 21 was a phenomenal reliever. He's coming off of injury. Like, there's going to be, I don't want to say workload limits, but there's going to be a workup. There's going to be a buildup there.
People forget that he is coming off a significant elbow injury.
Yeah, and I think a lot of his struggles are just a direct result of the workload that he's been under so early in the year, because like we've been saying since probably December, it feels like they're an arm short in that back end. And hopefully, as, you know, like Weissert seems to be taking a step forward, Bernie's looked really good. As those guys kind of carve out their role, hopefully you have to lean on Garrett less and less, which hopefully leads to better results out of him.
I think the reliever conversation is interesting because there are things that fans get worried about that don't end up becoming problems. But the reliever, the lack of, I think, arms that we feel like we fully trust, that's something we've all been talking about for a very long time, and it has come to fruition. Now, that's not the reason that they lost yesterday. They just couldn't hit yesterday. One run, couldn't get any hits and runners in scoring position. So I don't hit blame the bullpen at the slightest there. But I do think that we kind of all foresaw that. And now, I mean, it's Slayton and Whitlock recently have kind of both had their moments where you've been really, not really concerned, but you've been concerned about the way that they're going to perform. Chapman's the only guy I think right now you look at and you say, okay, we're probably going to get a zero here.
Automatic.
Yeah.
He's the only truly automatic guy right now. I emphasize right now because I do think longer term in this bullpen, Slayton and Whitlock are going to be those guys.
Yeah.
And, I mean, maybe a guy like Greg Weissert can step up into that role. He's certainly looked it lately. He's looked terrific. I have my questions as to whether that can be sustainable. I hope it is. We just haven't seen it for him yet. So he's a guy where I have to see it for an extended stretch to believe that he can put it together for an extended stretch. But, I mean, it's crazy that the middle relief, we were also hung up on it for a while, but Liam Hendricks is now seven straight scoreless innings.
No, that's true. He's been good.
Justin Wilson's been good. Bernardino's ERA is below two. Like they've got guys that are pitching well. I don't know that many, if any, of those guys are at the point where you can trust them in these high leverage spots consistently. But it is encouraging that some of these middle relievers have put together some positive stretches, because it looked for a while, Joe, kind of like you were saying, that you were going to have three guys, and let's say one of them isn't available, then to get to that eighth inning, you don't really know what you're going to do. But at this point, it's now more so, can we get to the ninth? Can we close down these one-run games? And to this point, 4-10 in one-run games, it just hasn't happened. Not always because of the bullpen, but in one-run games, they just haven't gotten the job done.
I want to get a vibe check on tonight, but before we do that, there's one text here. I'm curious your guys' thoughts on this one. Why not Abreu? We've talked a lot about Rafael today.
Oh, don't say
I can
it,
see
though.
Pat's face already.
Pat just lost his headset for what you're about to say.
He cocked his head back. He was about to be like, oh, my God. There's a texter here, and let's just get it out. What texter's saying, why not Abreu at first base? Roman Anthony to right, Christian Campbell to left, Duran to center, Meyer to second. Not all parts of that are crazy, but it's the first part that I think is the most
that's
offensive.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Willie Abreu's a Gold Glove right fielder. Yeah. He's not an infielder. Playing these outfielders in the infield when they've never been infielders is not going to happen. And certainly when they have won Gold Gloves in the hardest right field in the sport, that's a guy he's the guy you leave there. And he's been the best defensive right fielder in baseball this year as well. So, yeah, that's a guy you let lie and let him do his thing out in right field.
I have just enjoyed seeing the disgust on Pat's face right now.
The headphones literally came off his head.
My whole thing is, and Gordo just alluded to it, you have a 25, right? Willie's 25?
I'll double check.
25
it.
Or 26-year-old who won a Gold Glove in right field
25.
His rookie year.
Sorry, 25, almost 26.
Let me say that again. A 25-year-old who won a Gold Glove in Fenway's right field in his rookie year. I get he's a lefty, so default you go, oh, first base. You keep a guy like that out there. There's a reason that when Jackie Bradley was hitting 108, he was playing center field. It's because he was so good at it, you kept him out there. Willier to first makes no, they would never even entertain that kind of thought.
It's like Roman Anthony to first, but worse.
Yeah, I think so, right? I think I'm with you guys on that part. I think it's worse. Because again, because
he's a Gold Glover.
Yeah, he's shown it. And especially
yeah,
in
the majors.
And Pat made a good.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.